From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report. It is the 18th day of July. This morning, the President of the United States requested Tom Vilsack, the Secretary of Agriculture, brief him on the drought in the Midwest. Mr. Vilsack then talked to the press in Washington, D.C. We'll hear a portion of that press conference a bit later in the program. We'll talk about the commodity markets, of course, too. That with Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson. And the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. And check the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner out of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And it all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
In Chicago on a Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day with a soft red winter wheat September contract. That's the nearby at $8.98 and a quarter, up 5 and a quarter for the day. The hard red in Kansas City, that actually was the hard red in Kansas City. The soft red in Chicago at $9 was up 15 cents. Corn pit for the afternoon, up 13 and a half cents in the September at $7.93. December futures at $7.83 and a half, up 12 and a quarter. And the March in Chicago at $7.82 and a half for the corn, 10 and three quarters higher. May contract at $7.79 and a quarter, 10 and three quarters higher in July. Futures there at $7.73 and three quarters for next year, up 11 cents. The September 2013 contract down a penny and a quarter at $6.70. December at $6.34, down 1 cent. August soybeans on the afternoon, $16.85, up 46. September at $16.49 and a half, up 36 and three quarters. And November beans at $16.22, up 31 and a half cents. January contract $16.12, up 26. And the March at $15.45, up 10 and three quarters a bushel. And then things turned lower. The May contract in the bean pit at $14.72, down 5 and three quarters. In July, at $14.65 and three quarters, down 5 and a quarter. Bean meal futures at $5.14 were up $20 on the afternoon. And the bean oil contract for the day finished the August at $54.02. That's down 12 cents. Here's what the livestock finished like. Nearby live cattle futures in the October at $122.82 and a half, up $2.85. September feeders at $140, $3 higher. And October lean hogs at $80 and a nickel, up $2.37 and a half cents. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour for the day. Crude oil at $89.71 a barrel, up 49 cents. It has topped for the day at $90.04 a barrel, by the way. Ethanol at $2.73 and a tenth, 4 and 2 tenths higher. And the natural gas at $2.96 and a half, up 16 and 9 tenths of a cent. Heating oil, $2.87 and a half, 3 and 3 tenths higher. And the gold futures, down $18.70 an ounce at $1,570.40. The U.S. dollar at 83.07 is up 0.04. The weather forecast on the afternoon for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon says a 30% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms. It'll be partly sunny, hot, a high near 98 degrees on a west wind at about 7 miles an hour tonight. A 30% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and a low of 74 degrees. And then tomorrow, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, a high of 91, calm winds. And Thursday evening, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. On Thursday evening, mostly cloudy, a low of 68 degrees. Friday, sunny and 89. Friday night, clear and 66. Saturday, sunny and 89. Saturday evening, should see mostly clear skies and a low of 68. And Sunday, sunny skies and 92. Sunday night, mostly clear, a low of 71. Monday, mostly sunny and 93. Monday night, partly cloudy and 74. And by the time we get to Tuesday of next week, mostly sunny skies and a high of 93 degrees.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
This is the Closing Market Report. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. On the phone line with us, Jackie Vakes. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Good afternoon, Todd.
What an interesting day. Lots of things happening in the marketplace. We'll hear more about the Secretary of Agriculture's press briefing earlier today. He talked to the president and then talked to the Washington Press Corps. I suppose the important part of that was simply that he said not considering the waiver or asking US EPA about ethanol and a waiver just yet. But you've got lots of other things on the list of things that's been happening in the marketplace. What tops it?
Well, I'd have to think that, when we look at weather markets, and of course we're in one, they normally last 6 weeks. We're halfway through the fifth week. And I think it's important for people to understand we've rallied $2.75 on December corn and $3.06 on November beans. When you look at what a forecast for a tenth of an inch of rain to a half an inch of rain did overnight last night, I mean, which in reality is like spitting in the wind, we have to be a little concerned about making sure that you've got some floors in this market. I don't expect anybody to go out and sell corn because nobody knows for sure what they're going to have, but they really need to use some put strategies. We could go higher. And at the same time, when you look back in June of 2008 when we hit the 799.5 on DEIS, by the October average, which is the month we'll use for both corn and beans this year on crop insurance, it dropped $3.86.78. In 2011, when we hit the high of 779 in August, by the October average, we dropped $1.67.38. That's a lot of money. And so people have to be really on the ball when it comes to trying to protect crop price as well as protect their fall option, because if we drop that, all the bushels that they lose in the field will lose that amount. And beyond that, let's talk about the water levels on the Mississippi. I know I mentioned it to you earlier, but when we look at the Mississippi right now, in some places it's 50 feet lower than it was a year ago at this time, and it's actually only 5 feet deep, especially around Vicksburg, Mississippi itself. Corps of Engineers is coming in this weekend to try and do some dredging, but the reality is we could lose some of our export ports, and that would certainly not be a good thing for us. When you look at the rivers in the rest of the U.S., we had 1,100 Nebraska farmers shut off to irrigation. I talked to a number of our clients. Some of those guys are cut back now to 100 gallons per minute from as high as 1,000 gallons a minute. And, it's just one big continuous ball we have rolling here that is going against us in terms of being able to say, okay, we're going to see any major improvements, and the irrigated states are going to carry us because they can put water on. Talking to Minnesota guys, they say in some areas they're one rain away from 200 bushel crop or one missed rain away from 150 bushel crop. So pretty tough.
Yeah, so there are things all over the place. You think you can effectively use the marketplace to protect the difference between the crop insurance price and the premium that's now in corn and soybeans for that matter?
Yes. And you can use it, I'd rather somebody give me a call and ask me how, but you can use it using a put, because I don't want to have to go into the whole thing.
I understand.
Yeah, you can use it doing a put strategy, that'll get you into place. In fact, what I've been telling guys is we have never pushed doing any major cash selling this year. We've primarily used put strategies, and I've just been saying to guys, by the time that we move here, I think that we have the opportunity, if we close above 8, maybe to go to 8.20 and then perhaps 8.40 in a really wild situation. And that's going to take the cash market from, stepping aside, basically. We could go to that 8.50 level. If that's the case, at that point in time, once we get above $8, I want to see my guys who don't have sales made 100% covered with puts, and whatever they think they're going to lose in bushels, 100% covered with puts, because when you look at the type of drops we've had in the past, and I've had people tell me, you're crazy because it can't possibly happen. It's a long time between now and October. And if we start to see things, well, a good example is today, Germany sold $6.14 billion in bonds to investors who paid them 6 cents on every dollar to take their money. What does that speak for the European situation? And we know that the jobs numbers haven't been as great here as we'd like to see them. We have 1,297 counties now in drought in 29 states. This puts tremendous pressure on the businesses that we really depend on to be continuing to take corn and beans. And so I think it's very short-sighted to think that we will be at these types of levels at that time.
Yeah, so in your mind, we've killed a crop, and now it's about demand destruction and trying to balance the sheets and make it work.
That is exactly it all the way around. You know, it's no different than when you look at, you look at the overall economy. It's like thinking that today they were all excited because they thought Mr. Bernanke was going to say he was going to do QE3. Creating money doesn't restore confidence, you know, especially not the confidence that's necessary for economic prosperity. Being blind about what could happen to demand is not a way to protect income for your farm.
Jackie, we appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Thank you.
Hey, Jackie Vex is with Stuart Peterson. She's right here in Champaign, Illinois, joins us on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural futures markets.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Now in just a moment, Sean Powers of Illinois Public Media will be here with a look at today's agricultural news. You can always find us online if you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. Now, here's Sean.
In agricultural news, this morning, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack briefed President Obama on the drought situation gripping much of the United States. During a press conference, Vilsack set the stage for Congress to aid livestock farmers. He also suggested that crop insurance programs already in place should be mostly adequate for corn and soybean farmers. When asked if the biofuels mandate ethanol would be lifted, he answered,
There's no need to go to the EPA at this point in time based on the quantity of ethanol that's currently in storage. There's no problem in that area at this point in time.
The U.S. EPA can on its own or upon request consider whether the ethanol mandate is causing enough economic harm to be lifted. Prices for wheat, corn, and soybeans are racing higher with little relief in sight from blistering heat across much of the nation's farmland. Chuck Shelby is with Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. He says soybeans can last longer during this drought, but not much longer without some relief.
Beans that are up can last longer, but pretty soon it's going to be moving into August, and our time window to really salvage the bean crop is getting shorter every day also.
The latest U.S. Department of Agriculture data shows that just 31% of the corn crop is in good to excellent shape, a sharp drop from the 40% level last week. As the weeks pass with little improvement, livestock producers, food companies, and consumers are bracing for higher prices. Lisa Braltz runs Urbana's farmers market called Market at the Square. She says there are definitely key items that draw people to a farmers market.
A lot of these markets we're struggling with is, you know, do we bring fruit producers from somewhere else? What do we do? Do we bring peaches from Georgia? Because some of those items are attractors to farmers markets.
Well, in a couple of days, Champaign's Curtis Orchard will be open to the public, but there won't be as many apples available this year because of the devastating drought. The 80-acre farm has more than 4,500 apple trees and 20 acres of pumpkins. Curtis Orchard co-owner Randy Graham says people should visit the farm's website ahead of time to find out what's in stock.
When they see that favorite variety is available, they'd probably be wise to at least call and see what the volume is, what the availability is going to be like. Certain varieties may make a shorter appearance than they do some years, so they might need to get out here quicker to make sure they get the variety they love.
Graham says because of the extreme heat, he and his staff have redoubled irrigation efforts. He says pumpkins usually don't require water, but this year that hasn't been the case. Meanwhile, individual apple trees are typically watered every 8 days at Curtis Orchard, but in the last few weeks, with temperatures spiking 100 degrees, irrigation systems have watered those trees every 4 to 5 days. Curtis Orchard opens July 20th. For updates on available apples, visit curtisorchard.com. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Sean. That's Sean Powers of Illinois Public Media. He told you just a bit about the Secretary of Agriculture's press briefing that took place just before the noon hour Central Time today in Washington, D.C. I happen to record it all, and we've got most of it for you right now, at least the part where he wasn't being asked questions. If you want to hear the whole thing, it's posted on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Just look under that nice little picture of your Director of Agriculture, Dave Dickey, and myself. Now, here's the Secretary of Agriculture as he began the press briefing in Washington, D.C., this morning.
Did have an opportunity to visit with the president. He is very well informed on the circumstances surrounding a very serious drought, the most serious situation we've had probably in 25 years across the country. 61% of the landmass of the United States is currently being characterized as being impacted by this drought. And our hearts go out to the producers, the farm families who are struggling through something that they obviously have no control over and trying to deal with a very difficult circumstance. There's no question that this drought is having an impact on our crops. 78% of the corn crop is now in an area designated as drought impacted. 77% of the soybeans that are being grown in this country also impacted. It also obviously involves other commodities as well. 38% of our corn crop as of today is rated poor to very poor. 30% of our soybeans poor to very poor. And this obviously will have an impact on the yields. Right now we have indicated yields will be down about 20 bushels to the acre for corn and about 3 bushels to the acre for beans. That may be adjusted upward or downward as weather conditions dictate. This will result in significant increases in prices. For corn, we've seen a 38% increase since June 1st in the price of a bushel of corn. It's now at $7.88. A bushel of beans have risen 24%. This administration has taken quick action to try to provide help and assistance at the instructions of the president. The first thing we did was to streamline the disaster declaration system and process, reducing the amount of time it takes to have a county designated. That means that producers in those counties and adjoining counties are able to access low-interest loans. The president instructed us to reduce the interest rate on those loans from 3.75% to 2.25%. He also instructed us to open up new opportunities for haying and grazing. Our livestock producers are in deep trouble because of the drought. They don't have any place for their cattle. They are looking at very high feed costs. So we are opening up areas under the Conservation Reserve Program for emergency haying and grazing. Normally when that happens, producers have to return a portion of the CRP payment that they receive. We've reduced the portion that they have to return from 25% to 10%. Our tools are somewhat limited, and so we're going to need to work with Congress to provide opportunities either through the passage of the Food, Farm, and Jobs Bill or through additional disaster programs or perhaps additional flexibility in the Commodity Credit Corporation to provide help and assistance to our farmers. The question that a lot of folks are asking is what will the impact be on food prices? Because livestock producers will begin the process of potentially reducing their herds in light of higher feed costs, we would anticipate in the short term, food prices for beef, poultry, pork may go down a bit, but over time they will rise. We will probably see those higher prices later this year, first part of next year. Processed foods obviously impacted on by crop yields, and we would likely see the increase of that also in 2013. It's important to note that farmers only receive 14 cents of every food dollar that goes through the grocery store. So even though prices on commodities increase significantly, it doesn't necessarily translate into large increases for food prices. And if, in fact, people are beginning to see food price increases now, it is not in any way, shape, or form related to the drought, and we should be very careful to keep an eye on that to make sure that people do not take advantage of a very difficult and painful situation. There is some degree of uncertainty about all of this. Technology has allowed us to have more drought-resistant crops. Spotty nature of drought, the spotty nature of rains can sometimes result in better yields than anticipated. We're just going to have to see. As of today, 1,297 counties have been designated as secretarial disaster areas. That's approximately a third of the counties in the United States. We're adding 39 counties today in 8 states. So those states are New Mexico, Tennessee, Utah, Wyoming, Arkansas, Indiana, Georgia, and Mississippi. We have staff that is now traveling to 12 states, significantly impacted by the drought, in order to get a first-hand look at conditions. And we'll do everything we possibly can to help folks, but we're obviously going to need some help working with Congress to create greater flexibility in programs to revive the disaster programs that were allowed to expire last year, or to pass a food, farm, and jobs bill.
That's U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack briefing the Washington, D.C. press corps on the drought in the Midwest and its potential impact on the United States. If you'd like to hear the whole briefing, you can do that on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support comes from Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, holding a short-term and medium-term outlook meeting on commodity and financial market results, July 25th at 6 p.m. at the Arcola Community Service Center and July 27th at 7 a.m. at Yoder's in Arthur. Meals will be provided, reservations required. 866-471-2588.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. The folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility up in Delphi, Indiana, should be on the phone line shortly. Just one more time, if you want to listen to the Secretary of Agriculture's press briefing on the drought this morning that he made to the Washington press corps, and he did brief President Obama as well today. You can do that on our website at willag.org. Now let's check and see what's happening in Delphi, Indiana. Good afternoon to you there. I appreciate you taking the time with me.
Yeah, no problem. Glad to be here.
And I have who on the phone line?
You have Mark Russell.
Oh, hi, Mark. How are you? So tell me about the ethanol plant. This is what we really want to know about. Is it still operational, and do you have plans to shut it down anytime soon?
It is operational, and actually our only plans to shut it down are scheduled maintenance.
I won't push you into any more of a corner than that, so just regular scheduled maintenance, and that would usually take 2 weeks or a month?
A week to 2 weeks probably is, I think, what we're expecting. So,
okay, tell me about basis levels for cash grain, both corn and soybeans.
Sure. In our area, cash corn for old crop is about 45 to 50 over the September, and that's been relatively steady here recently. Beans are at the processors, I would say, 20 to 30 over. And the elevators are more in the 5 to 10 over the August.
And, Marv, do you have your bids in front of you for the day?
I do.
Okay, and they are?
Delphi cash corn for today delivery is 814. New crop is 781. Climbers, July delivery is 824. New crop is I might be a little bit off on those. I was looking at yesterday.
Hey, you know what? Don't worry about it. That's okay. One last question is it Mark or Marv? Is it with a K or a V at the end?
With a K.
Okay. Thanks so much, Mark. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
That's Mark Russell. He's at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. Back in just a couple of minutes, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027. Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's National Caviar Day. Caviar was once reserved strictly for royalty, yet surprisingly enough, in America during the early 19th century, caviar was routinely served during free lunches in saloons. The salty flavor encouraged thirst and enhanced beer sales. Incidentally, during the 20th century caviar boom, sturgeon were overfished nearly to the point of extinction. On this day in agricultural history in 1627, French explorers noticed oil seeping out of the ground near Cuba, New York. It was the first recorded mention of oil on the North American continent. In 1936, the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile was invented. It was a giant hot dog on wheels, invented by Carl Meyer, nephew of Oscar Meyer. It was built by General Body Company at Chicago, Illinois. By the way, in June of 2007, a Wienermobile with a Wisconsin license plate of Yummy made headlines after having been stopped by an Arizona Department of Public Safety officer for having an alleged stolen license plate. As it turns out, the Columbia Police Department that flagged the license plate as being stolen had neglected to add that it should be stolen if only not on a Wienermobile. And in 1940, Franklin Delano Roosevelt was nominated by the Democratic National Convention for an unprecedented third term as president. FDR was sympathetic to the struggles of rural America during the Depression, and many of his New Deal programs were designed to specifically help agriculture. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated joins us from his offices near Kansas City. Drew, thanks so much for taking the time. It's really been awful the last several weeks, maybe months, and they're looking for rainfalls across the Midwest. Is there any change in the pattern at all coming soon?
I really don't think there's anything soon enough, let's put it that way. We'll probably have a little bit more frequency of opportunity for showers and thunderstorms to occur across the northern and eastern parts of the Midwest over these next couple of weeks. But the opportunity is one thing. Having the volume of moisture there that would make a difference to the crops is another. And that's where we're at. This particular high-pressure ridge and general pattern is just not supporting much moisture in the atmosphere. We are very warm to hot, as you know, here at the surface, but it's also extending pretty far up into the atmosphere. And whenever you have that kind of a situation, it's very difficult to get a good cluster of intense thunderstorms to occur that can be sustained for a long period of time. We'll get a little burst like we've been seeing, some localized areas picking up on some heavier amounts of rainfall. But in order to turn this drought around, we've got to be able to sustain the rainfall for a long period of time. And we can't do that right now. The drought has complete control of the heart of this country. And I think it's going to take a while for that to change. It is, after all, mid-July, and in any normal summer, mid-July is still a problem with keeping moisture around because it's usually normally too warm to counter the evaporation. The evaporation rates are too high to counter the rainfall, is what I'm trying to say. But it's gonna be very difficult for change, and I don't really see that right now. El Nino is beginning to evolve. It is going to help to generate some increase in rainfall as we move into August, but the high-pressure center is going to stay anchored in the Central Plains and part of the Western Corn Belt, and some of those areas will just continue to bake dry. And by that, I'm talking about Nebraska, Kansas, Missouri, parts of southwestern Iowa. For the eastern Midwest, because we're going to be further to the east of the ridge during a big part of August, we'll probably still have opportunities for some rain, but again, I think it's going to be difficult to get enough to counter the evaporation.
So you are not hopeful, I know, for corn. But you're not really laying out much hope for the soybean crop across the Midwest either.
I think that there is some hope for some of the beans. Certainly the northern portions of the production region and some of the east will probably see enough timeliness and rainfall that to do relatively okay. I don't think I'd go any more than that. And in the southwestern portions of the production region and those states I just mentioned that are really going to have a long-term suffering, there's not going to be much hope for places like Kansas and Missouri and portions of southwestern Iowa. But I do think that we'll get enough shower activity to keep the crop hanging in there across some of these other eastern and northern parts of the region. I certainly don't want to leave false hope that we're going to see a significant turnaround. I really feel strongly that the next 2 weeks will be more or less status quo with just a slight increase in the number of showers, but their volume of rainfall output is still going to be quite low.
Drew, thank you so much for taking the time. We'll talk to you again in a week.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. I'm Todd Gleason. That's the Closing Market Report.